Hey, we got you, man.
I thought I had you guys for a second, and then I got shifted over into a morgue or something.
You ended up on our news.
Dumb person working there?
You ended up on our news talk station. They would have asked you about the Syrian refugee crisis and Obama's speech and all kinds of stuff, man.
Well, I didn't watch the speech. You know, what are you going to do about the Syrian refugees? Okay, I covered it.
I don't know, man. We'll ask you some different stuff. All right, I'm Walker, and she's Charlie. So,
hello.
You're at the Classic Center tomorrow night in Athens. Very much looking forward to that. When's the last time you've been hanging around in the Athens area?
You know, the last time I did a show there is the last time I came up. So I live in Suwanee. I don't know if you guys know that or not. I live 80 miles from there.
Oh, that's not far at all. Hop, skip, and jump away.
Yeah, it's a home game for me. I don't know if you'll think this is funny or not, but I just got through doing an interview.
Yeah.
I'm doing a show in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Really small. That's where Walmart's from. And I've talked to this DJ before, and he's just horrible. And he talks like it's still 1970. Really exaggerated. I'm like, nobody talks like that anymore, dude.
No.
No.
And he goes, this is what he says. He goes, Ron, every time a celebrity calls our radio station, we always ask them the same question. If you could have a conversation with anybody, living or dead, who would it be? And I said, living.
That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
And he tried to explain it to me. He's like, no, what I mean is anybody, when they're alive. I get it, dude. I'm a joke writer. I'm all over this.
That was the next question I was going to ask you, so scratch that one off the list, Charlie.
All right. Done.
Get
it. Well, I heard this rumor that you randomly pop up at, like, Atlanta comedy clubs. Like, do you just call them up and, like, hey, I'm Ron White. I want to perform. Let me take over your stage.
I don't even call sometimes.
Just show up. I like it.
Yeah, no, just because you're a big comic doesn't mean you don't have to go work out the beats on new jokes. You have to. So they allow me to do it. Now, they're glad I do.
Sure.
But I support the open mics in Atlanta. So I go all the time when I'm here. I really spend more time in Southern California. And when I'm there, I do 3 or 4 sets every night just bouncing around those clubs because then you can develop material faster. So it's... but, yeah, I love it. I mean, I love the comedy scene in Atlanta. It's very good. Clayton Williams from Atlanta, who I've been telling people about him for a couple of years, won Last Comic Standing last year. They've got a great comedy scene. Very proud of them.
Very cool.
You know, I sound like the old man of comedy.
Pushing the new talent.
The boys and girls, what they've done.
Tell us, give us like an interesting or something you could say on the radio, I guess. Something from Blue Collar Comedy Tour. You know,
we love that show. It was
just
great.
Being around those guys for so just give us one like really like unique story about your time with them.
Well, I mean, you know, that tour lasted 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Jeff and I had been friends. Oh, I don't know for how long. I met him the first day I started stand up. And that's kind of a cool story. I was my first open mic night, and I was in the Funny Bone Comedy Club in Arlington, Texas, September 17th, 1986.
Wow, you remember the day.
Wow.
Yeah. And Boxworthy was the headliner in the comedy club, and he had just come out to the open mic for the exact same reason that I go to work on some new stuff. And so he saw my first set, and he came up to me afterwards, and he goes, you're really funny, but you need to put the punchline at the end of the joke. And I was like, how do you do that? Comedian man. And this is how generous Foxworthy is. He takes me over, sits me down, gets out a pencil and a piece of paper, and shows me how to structure those jokes.
Right.
Where the punchline's at the end. Now, I don't even remember how to do it well. It seems so simple. But it is learned. And, you know, he took the time to take a comedian that could not be more brand new. And then he's continued to help me my entire career until he made me rich and famous.
Wow.
Such a nice
so
guy.
That's a friend, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what kind of comedy do you enjoy more? Is it like the rapid fire sort of jokes, or do you like the whole storytelling aspect? Cause
I'm more of a storyteller.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of stand-up because I'm too analytical about it.
Really?
Yeah, I watch it. Now, not that I don't enjoy it, but I don't laugh at it very often.
Well, so I imagine
I'll
like...
I'll just kind of sit there with my arms crossed going, that was funny. which is horrible.
Tough crowd.
And you know, that's just something that, it's just my job. I've done it for 30 years. I've done over 11,000 live shows in 30
wow.
years. Wow. And so that's just how I look at it now. I think any of it's good. I don't think, you know, there's so much difference between, like, Dan Whitney and me.
Right.
Larry the Cable Guy, who is a one-liner comic that does 100 jokes a minute.
Yeah.
And but he's also just a great pace, rhythm, and timing comic of any kind.
Yeah.
He didn't always do that character. It was good then. So I am just more of a long-form comic. I know none of this is funny, but... That's just so I don't know.
I think
I don't
it
really
is.
Have a preference. That's just I just do it the way I do it.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think the more relatable, you know, the more funny.
Right. Well, it can be. It can be. It's different strokes for different folks.
Right.
He's got a huge fan base too, and then I do, and some of them are crossover fans, some of them aren't.
That's the thing is, you guys, like all three of you guys, your styles meshed pretty well, and everybody enjoyed all three. You may have had your favorite, but you could relate to something on all three of you guys.
Well, there were four of us. Bill Engvall was the best.
Oh, my gosh. How could I forget Bill? All I'm thinking is Jeff and Larry. You're right. I completely forgot.
Poor
Don't
Bill.
Tell him that.
Yeah.
We'll sweep that under the rug.
For everybody. It was a phenomenon that was crazy, and it did everything in the world for me. You know, it's everything I ever dreamed of. You know, just and when that came out on DVD, that's when it happened. Just overnight, I was selling tickets everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And so that's a different life, you know. Whenever you're working in comedy clubs or whatever, to all of a sudden you're selling out, you know, Radio City Music Hall.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a little different. And
yeah.
I'm from a town of less than 700 people in Northwest Texas that's been forsaken by God.
They must love you.
They don't understand me. Well, actually, I was doing an interview with a little bitty town. I was doing an interview with, they have a monthly paper called the Bridge Gazette. And I was talking to the lady. She had no idea who I was. Somebody else told me. And she goes, well, maybe you ought to come down and do a show with for us one day. And I said, well, I might. I'm on tour right now with Jeff Foxworthy. She goes, oh, he's a little rough for me. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't. You're having a hard time with Jeff.
Yeah.
This ain't a step in the right direction.
Oh. Well, all right, what else we got, Charlie?
So your show is tomorrow at the Classic Center. What can we expect? Some of the old, some of the new, mixture?
No, you won't hear anything off of any record I've ever done.
New.
It's all new stuff.
Cool.
But it is probably the strongest hour and 20 minutes I've ever done.
Awesome.
I'm going to come beat you in the face. That's what I'm going to do.
I cannot wait. Looking forward to it. I'm ready for my stomach to hurt from laughing so much.
Well, you be ready and wear your drinking shoes.
How long does it take you to put together an hour and a half routine?
About 3 years.
Wow.
Wow.
I've always wanted
that. Wow.
It's a lot more complicated than I make it look.
I can imagine.
It's really hard to get that energy up and keep it up there for a really long time. It really takes material that's really well worked out, and it takes a long time to do it. And if you write a mediocre show, I could do that in a year.
Right.
But to write a show that I'm proud of, and I change my jokes one at a time. So I got to write something funny enough to put in the show, but I also, when I do that, I have to take something out. So it's got to be funny enough to replace a joke that I've already put in my show.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Wow.
But that's why the process takes so long. But it takes me about, you know, 2.5 or 3 years to tour the country. So
yeah.
By the time I get back, I've got a, you know, pretty much a new show.
Awesome.
Oh, well, material already there.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night at the Classic Center in downtown Athens. We'll get some people hooked up with some tickets today. And thank you, thank you, thank you for calling us and not ending up on the other station over there.
Yeah. Also, my opening act is Josh Blue. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He won Last Comic Standing. Cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Funniest guy alive. And I know a lot of the college kids will know who that is.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
So Josh is doing the show with me this weekend, and that's a treat. He's a great guy. I love him to death. You guys will enjoy it.
Great.
Looking forward to it, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Take care, buddy. Have a good one.